Don Juan by Lord Byron, Canto I, Part 6, read by Peter Gallagher for LibriVox.org.
She ceased, and turned upon her pillow. Pale she lay, her dark eyes flashing through their tears like skies that rain and lighten. As a veil waved and o'ershading her wan cheek appears her streaming hair, the black curls strive but fail to hide the glossy shoulder which uprears its snow through all. Her soft lips lie apart, and louder than her breathing beats her heart. The Señor Don Alfonso stood confused. Antonia bustled round the ransacked room, and turning up her nose with looks abused her master and his myrmidons, of whom not one, except the attorney, was amused. He, like Achates, faithful to the tomb, so there were quarrels, cared not for the cause, knowing they must be settled by the laws. With prying snub nose and small eyes he stood following Antonia's motions here and there, with much suspicion in his attitude. For reputations he had little care, so that a suit or action were made good. Small pity had he for the young and fair, and ne'er believed in negatives, till these were proved by competent false witnesses. But Don Alfonso stood with downcast looks, and truth to say he made a foolish figure, when, after searching in 500 nooks and treating a young wife with so much rigour, he'd gained no point, except some self-rebukes added to those his lady with such vigour had poured upon him for the last half hour, quick, thick, and heavy as a thunder shower. At first he tried to hammer an excuse, to which the sole reply was tears and sobs, and indications of hysterics, whose prologue is always certain throes and throbs, gasps, and whatever else the owners choose. Alfonso saw his wife and thought of Job's. He saw, too, in perspective, her relations, and then he tried to muster all his patience. He stood in act to speak, or rather stammer, but sage Antonia cut him short before the anvil of his speech received the hammer, with, "Pray, sir, leave the room, and say no more, or madam dies." Alfonso muttered, "Damn her!" But nothing else. The time of words was o'er. He cast a rueful look or two, and did, he knew not wherefore, that which he was bid. With him retired his posse comitatus. The attorney last, who lingered near the door reluctantly, still tarrying there as late as Antonia let him, not a little sore at this most strange and unexplained hiatus in Don Alfonso's facts, which just now wore an awkward look. As he revolved the case, the door was fastened in his legal face. No sooner was it bolted than, "Oh shame! Oh sin! Oh sorrow! And oh womankind! How can you do such things, and keep your fame, unless this world and t'other too be blind? Nothing so dear as an unfilched good name. But to proceed, for there is more behind, with much heartfelt reluctance, be it said, young Juan slipped, half-smothered, from the bed. He had been hid. I don't pretend to say how, nor can I, indeed, describe the where. Young, slender, and packed easily, he lay no doubt in little compass, round or square, but pity him, I neither must nor may his suffocation by that pretty pair. 'Twere better sure to die so than be shut with maudlin Clarence in his malmsey-butt. And secondly, I pity not because he had no business to commit a sin forbid by heavenly, fined by human laws. At least 'twas rather early to begin, but at 16 the conscience rarely gnaws so much as when we call our old debts in at 60 years, and draw the accounts of evil, and find a deuced balance with the devil. Of his position I can give no notion. 'Tis written in the Hebrew Chronicle how the physicians, leaving pill and potion, prescribed by way of blister a young bell when old King David's blood grew dull in motion, and that the medicine answered very well. Perhaps 'twas in a different way applied, for David lived, but Juan nearly died. What's to be done? Alfonso will be back the moment he has sent his fools away. Antonia's skill was put upon the rack, but no device could be brought into play. And how to parry the renewed attack? Besides, it wanted but few hours of day. Antonia puzzled, Julia did not speak, but press'd her bloodless lip to Juan's cheek. He turn'd his lip to hers, and with his hand called back the tangles of her wandering hair. Even then their love they could not all command, and half forgot their danger and despair. Antonia's patience now was at a stand. "Come, come, 'tis no time now for fooling there," she whispered in great wrath. "I must deposit this pretty gentleman within the closet. Pray keep your nonsense for some luckier night. Who can have put my master in this mood? What will become on't? I'm in such a fright. The devil's in the urchin, and no good. Is this a time for giggling? This a plight? Why, don't you know that it may end in blood? You'll lose your life, and I shall lose my place, my mistress all, for that half-girlish face. Had it but been for a stout cavalier of 25 or 30, come, make haste. But for a child, what a piece of work is here! I really, madam, wonder at your taste. Come, sir, get in. My master must be near. There for the present, at the least he's fast, and if we can but till the morning keep our counsel. Juan, mind you must not sleep." Now Don Alfonso entering, but alone, closed the oration of the trusty maid. She loitered, and he told her to be gone. An order somewhat sullenly obeyed, however, present remedy was none, and no great good seemed answered if she stayed. Regarding both with slow and sidelong view, she snuffed the candle, curtsied, and withdrew. Alfonso paused a minute, then begun some strange excuses for his late proceeding. He would not justify what he had done, to say the best, it was extreme ill-breeding, but there were ample reasons for it, none of which he specified in this his pleading. His speech was a fine sample, on the whole, of rhetoric, which the learned call rigmarole. Julia said naught, though all the while there rose a ready answer, which at once enables a matron who her husband's foible knows by a few timely words to turn the tables, which, if it does not silence, still must pose, even if it should comprise a pack of fables. 'Tis to retort with firmness, and when he suspects with one, do you reproach with three. Julia, in fact, had tolerable grounds. Alfonso's loves with Inez were well known, but whether 'twas that one's own guilt confounds, but that can't be, as has been often shown, a lady with apologies abounds. It might be that her silence sprang alone from delicacy to Don Juan's ear, to whom she knew his mother's fame was dear. There might be one more motive, which makes two. Alfonso ne'er to Juan had alluded, mentioned his jealousy, but never who had been the happy lover he concluded concealed among his premises. 'Tis true his mind the more o'er this its mystery brooded. To speak of Inez now were, one may say, like throwing Juan in Alfonso's way. A hint in tender cases is enough. Silence is best. Besides, there is a tact. That modern phrase appears to me sad stuff, but it will serve to keep my verse compact, which keeps, when pushed by questions rather rough, a lady always distant from the fact. The charming creatures lie with such a grace. There's nothing so becoming to the face. They blush, and we believe them. At least, I have always done so. 'Tis of no great use in any case attempting a reply, for then their eloquence grows quite profuse, and when at length they're out of breath, they sigh, and cast their languid eyes down, and let loose a tear or two, and then we make it up. And then sit down and sup. Alfonso closed his speech, and begged her pardon, which Julia half withheld, and then half granted, and laid conditions he thought very hard on, denying several little things he wanted. He stood like Adam, lingering near his garden, with useless penitence, perplexed and haunted, beseeching she no further would refuse, when, lo, he stumbled o'er a pair of shoes. A pair of shoes? What then? Not much, if they are such as fit with ladies' feet, but these, no one can tell how much I grieve to say, were masculine. To see them, and to seize, was but a moment's act. Ah, well-a-day, my teeth begin to chatter, my veins freeze. Alfonso first examined well their fashion, then flew out into another passion. He left the room for his relinquished sword, and Julia instant to the closet flew. "Fly, Juan, fly, for heaven's sake! Not a word! The door is open. You may yet slip through the passage you so often have explored. Here is the garden key. Fly, fly, adieu, haste, haste! I hear Alfonso's hurrying feet. Day has not broke. There's no one in the street." None can say this was not good advice. The only mischief was, it came too late. Of all experience, 'tis the usual price, a sort of income tax laid on by fate. Juan had reached the room door in a trice, and might have done so by the garden gate, but met Alfonso in his dressing gown, who threatened death, so Juan knocked him down. Dire was the scuffle, and out went the light. Antonia cried out, "Rape!" and Julia, "Fire!" But not a servant stirred to aid the fight. Alfonso, pommeled to his heart's desire, swore lustily he'd be revenged this night, and Juan, too, blasphemed an octave higher. His blood was up. Though young, he was a Tartar, and not at all disposed to prove a martyr. Alfonso's sword had dropped ere he could draw it, and they continued battling hand to hand, for Juan, very luckily, ne'er saw it, his temper not being under great command. If at that moment he had chanced to claw it, Alfonso's days had not been in the land much longer. Think of husbands, lovers' lives, and how you may be doubly widows, wives. Alfonso grappled to detain the foe, and Juan throttled him to get away. The blood, 'twas from the nose, began to flow. At last, as they more faintly wrestling lay, Juan contrived to give an awkward blow, and then his only garment quite gave way. He fled like Joseph, leaving it. But there, I doubt, all likeness ends between the pair. Lights came at length, and men, and maids, who found an awkward spectacle their eyes before. Antonia in hysterics, Julia swooned, Alfonso leaning breathless by the door. Some half-torn drapery scattered on the ground, some blood, and several footsteps, but no more. Juan, the gate gained, turned the key about, and liking not the inside, locked the out.
This recording is in the public domain.